councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
But I also believe a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Guns will be taken. No one will be able to be armed. We're going to take all guns.
For many of the police and guard troops, it is an uncomfortable job to do this in an American city.
Global governance at last. Is it one world? The central bankers in charge. But aren't we all just living and dying from what the central banks do?
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Good evening. It's Monday, the 7th of January of 2012. I'm David Ortiz. You're watching InfoWars Nightly News, and here's what we have in store for you tonight.
Tonight, Alex Jones is detained by the TSA and threatened with arrest as he travels to New York for the showdown with Piers Morgan. Then, another gun story you won't be hearing about on mainstream television as a gun-toting mom protects her children from a dangerous intruder. Plus, one woman's fight against gun control.
The Second Amendment is not about duck hunting. And I know I'm not going to make very many friends saying this, but it's about our rights, all of our rights, to be able to protect ourselves from all of you guys up there.
Susanna Hupp, survivor of the Luby's massacre, advocates an individual's right to carry a concealed weapon. All that and more up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Welcome back. Well, it seems that an American in Georgia recently exercised her Second Amendment rights. According to an article posted today by Adam Salazar and InfoWars.com, the headline reads, "Woman defends home and children by shooting intruder five times. God bless her." In another victory for responsible gun owners, a mother defended herself and her two children using a firearm after a burglar broke into their home this past Friday. It happened in Loganville, Georgia, about 35 miles east of Atlanta. The woman was working in an upstairs office when she spotted a strange man outside a window. The unfamiliar man, who the woman initially perceived to be a solicitor, began ringing the doorbell several times. The 37-year-old woman dialed her husband at work, who told her to get the kids and hide as he proceeded to call 911. Next, the woman gathered her 9-year-old twins and hightailed it to a crawl space as the burglar broke into the home using a crowbar and began rummaging through the occupant's belongings. Well, it turns out that when he opened the crawl space door, he was greeted with five bullets. He ran out of the house, and I believe he crashed as he, you know, he crashed his vehicle into a location, and he told an officer of the law to help him, please, that he was bleeding to death. He believed that he was dying. And we've got a video clip that talks a little bit more about this story.
A woman shot an intruder inside her home on Henderson Ridge Lane. The woman fired five times.
My wife is a hero. She protected her kids. She did what she was supposed to do as a responsible, prepared gun owner. Her life is saved, and our kids' lives are saved.
Sheriff Joe Chapman says the woman fired all six rounds, hitting Slater in the face and neck five times.
Well, there you go. And it seems that the Obama administration says, look at these deaths, but not these. They want you to look at the deaths of the children that happened in Connecticut. And obviously that was horrific what occurred. But they never want you to look at deaths that occur when an American defends themselves. And that's exactly what happened. We commend that woman who did that. Her name is Miss Herman. Her first name was not disclosed. And that's one of the reasons why America is safer than the UK. The United States has half the numbers of violent crimes than the UK does. It has half the number of burglaries. It has half the number of rapes. And the reason why is most burglars are cowards. And they don't want to go into a home where they can potentially get shot. So again, a woman defended herself in Loganville, Georgia. As a result, there's a great chance both her and her family are safe today. And you will hear nothing about that from Piers Morgan or the Nutty Left. And quite often they say, well, David, we're not saying that you can't defend yourself in your house. But they're not telling the complete truth, because Dianne Feinstein's bill, which she's proposing and they'll be voting on later on this month, says that the bill proposes that Americans can only have a certain number of bullets in their home also. So we're going to give you 10 bullets and you better pray to God that that's enough for you to defend your family. So they're even intruding on people's rights to defend themselves in their home, these nutty anti-Second Amendment liberals. Again, we commend that individual. Now, speaking of the Second Amendment, last week, Darren McBreen talked about a bill that is being presented in a town called Gilberton, Pennsylvania. Basically, the police chief there, his name is Police Chief Mark Kessler, is proposing an ordinance called the Second Amendment Preservation Ordinance that basically states that he wants to make sure that whatever the federal government and state government says in his town of Gilberton, it's a very small town, about 800 plus people, we will honor the Second Amendment and we will have loose gun laws despite what the federal and state government says. God bless them. And we're now going to speak to the chief of police of Gilberton, Pennsylvania. Again, Chief of Police Mark Kessler. Chief Kessler, thank you so much for joining us here on InfoWars Nightly News.
Thank you, Dave.
Now, Chief, tell us a little bit about your proposal. It's called the Second Amendment Preservation Ordinance.
Well, Dave, the ordinance slash resolution is to recognize the Second Amendment and the Constitution of the United States and the Section 21 of the Pennsylvania Constitution, which states the right to keep and bear arms shall not be questioned. Basically, what I'm trying to do is have our council in the borough of Gilberton recognize the Second Amendment and that they're going to stand behind me and stand behind the citizens of the United States and the Second Amendment, and that they're not going to infringe on the Second Amendment regarding any state, local, or federal laws, rules, or regulations that may or may not come down from the elites in Washington, I guess you could call them.
Now, what prompted you to do this?
Everything that's going on right now in Washington with all of the bureaucrats that are making such a mess and causing such a hornet's stir over what one man's act of evil up in Connecticut to those poor, innocent children. And they're labeling everybody, law-abiding gun owners, as criminals now. And I felt I needed to do something to make a stand and let it be known that this is not going to go over very well with me. I hope I can speak with more. I hope I can speak for the majority of law enforcement officials out there. They should stand behind the Constitution and they should stand behind the Second Amendment, and the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And I don't understand what part of that these politicians in Washington don't get.
Now, Chief, what would you say to critics who say, oh, come on, more guns in the hands of civilians is going to lead to more gun violence?
I'd have to say that's a false accusation. That's definitely a false accusation, that would not sit well with me whatsoever. It's not the law-abiding citizen that are going out and committing these heinous crimes. It's the mentally ill. It's the gangbanger. It's the career criminals that are doing all these horrendous crimes with firearms. It's not the average person. It's not the law enforcement officials, the law-abiding citizens that are going out and doing all this crazy stuff. And I would not be in support of that at all.
Now, you actually just said some of this has to do with drugs. So a lot of the violence, you would agree, has to do with the drug war.
Exactly. The drugs are a huge part of the violence right now. Even in my little area, there's a thing called bath salts that they're actually killing each other over. Over this stuff. It's a synthetic amphetamine that's being sold at convenience stores. Fortunately, the state was smart enough to, the bureaucrats on the state level were smart enough to introduce legislation to ban synthetic drugs, finally, in Pennsylvania, but it's not stopping. There's other states where it's legal and they're bringing it in, and it's just all out war with the heroin, the synthetic drugs, and everything else. It's just making a real mess around the entire nation. And it's not the guns. If they should focus anything, they should focus on the guys that are standing on the street corner selling the heroin and the synthetic drugs to kids.
Now, Chief, if this Second Amendment Preservation Ordinance passes, I mean, can the federal government or state law trump your town's ordinance?
Under the Tenth Amendment, which gives us the power to nullify any state, federal, or local laws, regulations, rules, or regulations, as far as that we're not going to enforce them because we feel that they're unconstitutional, that they are unconstitutional. Any law that comes down against the Second Amendment of the Constitution is unconstitutional. As far as we're concerned in this borough, we will not enforce any laws that are unconstitutional or that go against the Second Amendment of the Constitution itself, or the Constitution of Pennsylvania.
But being pragmatic, because you know these government officials really like to flex their muscle and impose their will on states and towns, I mean, do you still think that they can, even though this is a nice ordinance, can they still force it on you guys, force federal law on you? I mean, I know you're not a lawmaker. I don't want to put you on the spot.
Yeah,
but
That I'm not sure about. But on our stance is that we're not going to recognize it. We're not going to recognize any federal, state, or local infringement on the right to keep and bear firearms, accessories, or ammunition, nullifying all federal, state, or local acts in violation of the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, along with Section 21, the right to keep and bear arms of the Pennsylvania Constitution. Period. And that's that. I mean, I will not have my department go around and enforce any federal regulations, either at the state or local level, even regarding the Second Amendment or the Section 21 of the Pennsylvania Constitution.
Now, Chief, we only have 2 minutes left. Aside from having this bill passed, what do you hope occurs as a result of your ordinance?
Well, Dave, I've been receiving phone calls from thousands and thousands of people all across the United States. And in particularly, today was a very, very, very busy day for me. I got a lot of phone calls from Illinois, actually, and my heart goes out to those people out there. They're in for the fight of their lives, what they're going through right now with the proposed confiscation of firearms out in Illinois, wanting copies of the our ordinance resolution to be sent to their local law enforcement officials, to their sheriffs. They had me contacting their sheriffs out there, the local law enforcement officials out there, asking where they stand. Where do they stand on the Second Amendment? Where do they stand with this? It's just amazing the support I've been getting in. I had a woman from Illinois call me. She's a school teacher. She wanted a copy so she can take it to her local officials and her local chief of police and try and get this passed in her jurisdiction. And she lives in Illinois, and my heart goes out for them. It really does. I had another woman call me from Ohio in tears, supporting my efforts. And I told her, I said, this isn't about me. I'm just merely a messenger. That's all I am, is merely a messenger. This is about our liberty and our freedoms and our constitutional rights, because they are being challenged at an alarming rate. And there hasn't been, I feel that this is a time in history where we need to stand up against the tyranny in government, and it is tyrannical right now in Washington with their trying to ram through unconstitutional laws down the throats of the American people. And we can't be idle. We can't be like sheep and just let them herd us together and disarm us, and so we have no way to fight back. And God forbid, the last thing you want is any kind of violence. You know, hopefully this starts a match, and the fire grows across the nation and say enough is enough. We're going to practice the nullification.
And, Chief, in the 20 seconds that we have left, where does this bill stand? You have to put it in front of the council. When do you think this bill will be passed, if at all?
January 24th is our regular scheduled meeting here at the Borough Hall, and hopefully it will pass. I'm going to propose it in front of the board, the council, the town council, and ask them to put it up for a vote. I'll have to make a motion and so on and so forth, and hopefully I'll have some supporters and whoever's welcome to come to the meeting and support the Second Amendment and the Constitution.
And for those that don't know, the town has about, it's a small town, only has about 800-plus residents. But what you're doing, Chief, is extremely patriotic. We wish you the best of luck, and we'll be following up to see what occurs regarding this ordinance.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Chief.
Have a wonderful
evening. Bye-bye.
You too.
And speaking of government tyranny, we always talk about airport security and the TSA and how they love to grope your genitals. And it turns out that our very own Alex Jones was recently harassed at the Austin airport. He was traveling to New York City. He's actually there right now to appear on the Piers Morgan show and obviously promote the Second Amendment. But on his way there, he was harassed by a TSA individual, as well as a local cop who's no stranger to InfoWars. In the article posted by Paul Joseph Watson, you'll see photos. And the article says, radio talk show host and ardent Homeland Security critic Alex Jones was detained by the TSA at Austin Bergstrom Airport and threatened with arrest for refusing to take his shoes off at a security checkpoint. Traveling to New York to appear on CNN's Piers Morgan tonight, Jones had already showed his ID as he approached the metal detector. Jones and colleague Rob Dew noticed that a large number of people across all age ranges were not removing their shoes as they walked through the metal detector. The X-ray body scanners were not in use. As soon as he approached security, Jones was addressed by a TSA screener who said, "Hello, Mr. Jones," indicating that she knew who he was, and immediately ordered him to remove his shoes. When Jones refused, citing the fact that innumerable other people had not remove their shoes, the TSA screener claimed that only under 12s and over 75s were not mandated to remove footwear under TSA policy. When Jones contested the point, arguing that numerous travelers in their 40s had not removed their shoes, the TSA agent ordered him to take off his shoes and then basically got in his face and threatened him. Ultimately, Alex did take off his shoes, but he's considering a lawsuit. And that individual who was basically bowing up to Alex is no stranger to InfoWars. As a matter of fact, a couple of months ago, a couple of InfoWars reporters, Dan Bidondi, John Bowne, Linda West, had an encounter with that very same officer. And there you go. There he is right there.
Here, you can film as long as you go through the PIO and they give you authorization to do it.
Authorization to exercise the First Amendment.
So there you go, that individual. I believe he's an officer. He may not be a TSA rep, but he's the first guy who they call whenever the TSA needs some backup. So we wish Alex well, and we hope that he comes back safely and he's not harassed in New York City. And remember, tonight, Alex Jones is going one-on-one, toe-to-toe with Piers Morgan. It's going to be on CNN at 9 p.m. Twit versus Wit. Patriot versus Turncoat, Redcoat as well. He's both. And again, that's going to be on 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, CNN. It's about the only time we would ever plug that globalist network. And Alex plans on giving Piers Morgan, the European socialist, a constitutional beatdown. And we wish him well. But there's a saying that's very popular, and it's you can't cure stupid. So let's not get too hopeful. Obviously, Alex is going to mop the floor with him, but don't expect the European socialist to change his views. Now, speaking of dim-witted individuals, there is an officer in Hearst, Texas, by the name of Officer Disraeli Arnold. And a couple weeks ago, Paul Joseph Watson posted an article that shows this individual assaulted a person. He kneed him in the back of the head. But the good news is that the Hearst Police Department has fired this individual by the name of Disraeli Arnold. He's been suspended indefinitely, the equivalent of being fired. The internal affairs investigation concluded that Arnold was, quote, disrespectful to a citizen, used indecent, profane, and harsh language in the performance of his official duties, and conducted himself in a manner which brought discredit to himself and the Hearst Police Department. So, Officer Arnold, bye-bye. And what's amazing, though, is that he wasn't thrown off the force for assaulting the individual, allegedly assaulting the individual, which was caught on camera. He was actually thrown off the force for cursing into a camera after he did that. So it's okay to assault people, what I deem myself to be assault, but just make sure you don't curse at bystanders while you're doing it. Now let's go to that videotape where we show you, where you can see what this officer did.
Move.
Oh, what
move.
The?
Move and die. Move and f***ing die.
You move and die? Here?
There wasn't nothing necessary for you elbowing in the back of my head.
Nah, that was his knee.
Move. Move so I can kick your ass.
Shut up, bro. You came over here and f***ing kneed me in the face.
I sure did. You got it on tape? Arnold, 654.
So there you go. Yeah, he wasn't shameful. He walked right into the camera, gave his badge number. He had no problem with it. And if you also see that video, you'll see that the officer who was not in the wrong, he didn't do anything wrong, but was with that officer, the Officer Arnold, he basically intimidated the guy who was filming to turn it off after the guy was arrested, which is completely against the law. They were filming that at a public park, and an officer does not have the right to tell you to turn off your camera as long as you're not interfering with what they're doing, especially if you're on public property. So make note of that. Never allow an officer to tell you to turn off their camera, turn off your camera as long as you're not interfering with what they're doing. You can continue rolling. Now, in other news, in an article posted today by our own Mike Adams on naturalnews.com, it seems that patient prescription drug records may be used to deny Americans their constitutional rights. Well, obviously, the article reads, all Americans who have been prescribed psychiatric medications could be denied their constitutional rights under gun control legislation expected to be introduced into the U.S. Senate on January 22nd. Although the actual text of the bill is not yet available to the public, the heavy emphasis on mental health in recent gun control discussions echoes the present-day denial of Second Amendment rights to veterans diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. And the article also states that if that bill passes, from Senator Dianne Feinstein, psychiatrists will act as the new cops who get to determine whether you have rights at all. And what's scary also is that parents may be denied Second Amendment rights if children are taking psychiatric drugs. So obviously, if this bill gets passed, people are concerned that nutty people are going to get guns. And certainly that's a concern. But as a result, if you create a law like if someone in your house is on medication, you can't have a gun. Well, obviously, that's putting you in harm's way. If someone breaks into your house, you're not going to be able to have a gun. So we have to be very mindful of these tyrannical bills that are being drafted. You know, there's already enough laws on the books, and something simple that can be done is simply requiring people to have locks in their homes for their guns if they have a child or another individual who is taking medication. But at the end of the day, the amount of people, there's unintended consequences, and laws hurt more than they help. The amount of people that get shot by guns in this country is less than 1% of the public. It's about 100,000. Of those, about 50% of them are due to the drug war or their suicides. And only about 2% of those murders involve assault weapons, and the state of Connecticut already has strict gun laws, and the individual who shot those children horrifically, his mother's gun was registered as well. So there are unintended consequences, and you know, more laws aren't going to make things better. Again, the chances of you getting shot in this country are minuscule, less than 1%, and most gun-related deaths are due to suicide and drug gangs. Now, in other news, we started the newscast with some positive news. A woman who defended her family exercised her Second Amendment rights. And one more positive story we have here, and that's that in North Dakota, there is a representative who set to propose a bill limiting drone use. According to an article posted on The New American, North Dakota State Representative Rick Becker knows a threat to liberty when he sees one. Becker, a plastic surgeon serving his first term as legislator, is proposing a bill to the North Dakota State Legislature looking to limit the use of drones by law enforcement. A story in the Huffington Post reports that Becker's bill is gaining bipartisan support and fostering unlikely political alignments. Becker says, quote, drones are a new technology that have really amazing capabilities and can be used in excellent ways for our communities. I don't want to say that drones can't be used, but with the new technology, there are also issues, primarily privacy issues, which can come into play. And Cass County Sheriff Paul Laney says, quote, some people have this idea that these drones are some sneak and peek into their private lives. It's no different than a routine patrol. When we drive in a squad car on the road and look down the driveway, we are just doing it from a higher level. So obviously you've got a law enforcement official there in North Dakota who doesn't like it. But we commend the representative. The bill is going to be similar to Rand Paul's federal bill. He basically just wants to make sure that if a drone use is used in communities, that you at least have a warrant. You know, you can't have a massive machinery hovering over people's properties. It can see through their houses. You know, I think the officer there said that, using a drone is no different than a cop doing patrol duty. Yeah, it is, because a cop car doesn't have weaponry attached to it. And with a cop car, you can't see through houses. Not only that, but a cop car, you're on a public street. You're not on the person's property, whereas with a drone airplane, you're hovering over that person's property. So we commend that individual, and we hope that the bill is passed. Now time for our daily quote. I fear that all we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant and fill him with a terrible resolve. That's attributed to Isoroku Yamamoto in Tora Tora Tora, in reference to the attack on Pearl Harbor. Now, obviously, our government back then was not nearly as tyrannical as it is today. So even though it sounds a little bit pro-military, it's important to note that back then, the U.S. military was much more patriotic. The military heads was much more patriotic than they are today. So, and if you like our programming, always remember one way you can support what we do is by becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv for less than $6 a month. You can get access to Alex's show on HD, special reports. And do we still have that special going where you get 10 for the price of one? Yeah, we have a special going where one subscription, an additional 10 people can share that subscription. You can share that username, that password, and you can really get the word out. Or obviously you can also chip in. Many people can just chip in and save on the cost and just use a username and password that way. So there you go. If you want to help the operation, become a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. Now just hold on tight, because Alex is going to have a hard-hitting interview with Susanna Hupp. Now, for those who don't know, Susanna Hupp is an individual who in 1990, her parents were killed. She was eating at Luby's cafeteria in the early 90s, and an individual came in and he shot about 50 people. Many of them died. Two of them were her parents. But the thing is, sadly, Ms. Hupp had a gun in her car, and she didn't bring it in that day. And as a result, she regrets it very much so, and she's been a champion of concealed carry laws. So stay tuned for that powerful interview with Alex.
Up next, former member of the Texas House of Representatives and survivor of the 1991 Luby's Massacre, Susanna Hupp.
The Second Amendment is not about duck hunting. And I know I'm not going to make very many friends saying this, but it's about our rights, all of our rights, to be able to protect ourselves from all of you guys up there.
Up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
North Northwoods,
Gulf of Tonkin,
Gladio,
Kent State,
Ruby Ridge,
Waco,
Oklahoma City,
the World Trade Center,
the Pentagon,
Shanksville,
Hurricane Katrina,
Fast and Furious,
Fast and Furious,
Fast and Furious.
How many more?
How many more?
How many more false flags?
How many more?
How many more government buildings?
How many more innocent people?
How many more?
How many more?
What has been the number one cause of unnatural death in history?
Democide, or death by government, has killed 290 million people on record.
290 million people killed.
Killed.
290 million.
Killed by government.
The government.
The number one killer in history is democide.
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 Death by government.
Look it up.
Go look it up. In the 20th century, government murdered four times as many people as were killed in all the international and domestic wars combined.
USSR, 61,911,000 people killed.
Hitler's Germany, nearly 21 million people killed.
Japan's imperialism, nearly 6 million people killed.
Western colonization killed over 50 million people.
Pol Pot's Cambodia, funded by the U.S. government. 2 million people killed.
China's Communist Party, as many as 76 million people killed between 1949 and 1987.
And the list goes on and on.
So now you know the most dangerous thing to you and your family in the world is government.
Because mass murderers agree, gun control works.
Disarming citizens is democide.
Disarming citizens is democide.
Disarming people is democide.
How many people have died because of Fast and Furious?
No more false flags.
Enough.
Enough.
It's enough.
Now is the time.
It's time.
It's time to realize that when the government takes your guns, people die.
It's time to realize the biggest threat to you and your family is government.
It's time to recognize government is the greatest killer of all time.
It's time.
Demand a plan.
Demand.
Demand a plan.
Demand a plan right now.
As a free human being.
As an American.
As an American.
As an American citizen.
As a patriot.
For your children.
Demand to know why you and your children are forced into gun-free zones while government officials, celebrities, and their children are protected by armed guards.
Demand they show you the word hunting in the Second Amendment.
Demand to know why the government shipped thousands of guns to Mexican drug cartels.
Demand our government stops blowing up federal buildings.
Demand that our troops stop protecting opium fields in Afghanistan and come home.
Demand the government stop this phony drug war.
Demand to know why the Department of Homeland Security bought more than 1.6 billion hollow point bullets with our money.
Demand our government stop poisoning our food supply with genetically modified organisms.
Demand that President Obama stops killing innocent women and children all around the world with his illegal drone attacks.
Demand an end to these unconstitutional wars.
Demand that the TSA stop groping our genitals at the airport.
Demand that the NSA stop illegally spying on all of us all the time.
Demand that toxic fluoride be removed from the water supply.
Demand our politicians uphold the Constitution and Bill of Rights as they swore to when they took office.
It's time.
It's time for our leaders to act like leaders.
It's time for our leaders to read the Constitution.
It's time for our leaders to obey the Constitution.
The Constitution.
The Constitution.
Because a well-regulated militia with 10-round magazines wouldn't last very long.
Demand an end to citizen disarmament.
Government-sponsored terror.
And democide.
Democide. Death by government.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
We are sick and tired of our tyrannical government taking away our rights.
Stop stealing our rights.
Our rights.
Our rights.
How many more people does government have to kill?
Enough.
Enough.
Enough already.
Enough.
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 Enough of the people laying down and letting government kill them en masse after disarming them as they've done throughout history over and over again. Enough. Enough to laying down and letting these criminals use us up like slaves.
I really enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and, well, we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow info warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure Big Brush Finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King Large Version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure Big, probably one of the best values out there. And, of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order in our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure, top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code WATER to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals. But the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
Welcome back. Well, in just 1 minute, we're going to go to an interview that Alex conducted with Susanna Hupp. But before we do that, we're going to go to a video that shows Mrs. Hupp speaking to members of Congress. It's extremely powerful.
I didn't grow up in a house with guns. I don't hunt. I personally abhor hunting. But I was given a gun by a friend when I was 21 to carry in my purse for self-defense, and I was taught how to use it. A couple of years ago, my parents and I went to a cafeteria in Texas on a bright, sunny day. We weren't in a dark alley where we weren't supposed to be. And as you all know the story, this madman drove his truck through the window, and he began shooting. Well, immediately, my father and I got down on the floor and put the table up in front of us. And this guy kept shooting. And you're thinking, what could it be? Is it a robbery? That's the first thing that generally comes to mind. And he keeps shooting. It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could. Now, I'd like to make something clear. I hear all this talk about how many bullets can go in a clip. I've been there. I can tell you it doesn't matter. It takes 1 second to switch out a clip. You can have one bullet or 100 bullets. It doesn't matter, guys. I've been there. He goes, dump, dump, just like that. That's not enough time to rush a man. I promise you. When I finally realized what was occurring, I thought, I got him. And I reached for my purse. He was maybe 12 feet away. You know, is it possible my gun could have jammed? Sure. Is it possible I could have missed? Sure. But I can tell you I've hit much smaller targets at much greater distances. But then I realized that a couple of months earlier I had made the stupidest decision of my life. I took my gun out of my purse and left it in my car. Because as you well know, in the state of Texas, it's sometimes a felony offense to carry a gun in your purse. I can tell you that I'm not mad at the guy that did this. As he continued, it was obvious that he was a madman. My father, at that point, said, I've got to do something. I've got to do something. He's going to kill everybody in here. And he rushed the man. No way. The guy turned, shot him in the chest. He went down, was obviously mortally wounded. For whatever reason, that made the man change directions and go off to my left. Shortly thereafter, someone at the back of the restaurant broke out a window. When I saw what looked like an opportunity to escape, I turned around and I grabbed my mother by the shirt and I said, come on, come on, we've got to run, we've got to get out of here. And then my feet grew wings and I was out the back window. As soon as I got out, I realized that my mother had not followed me out. And as I learned from the police officers, she had crawled over to where my father was and cradled him until the guy got back around to her, put the gun to her head. She looked up at him, put her head down, and he pulled the trigger. My parents had just had their 47th wedding anniversary. She wasn't going anywhere. As I mentioned, I'm not really mad at the guy that did this, and I'm certainly not mad at the guns that did this. They didn't walk in there by themselves and pull their own triggers. The guy that did it was a lunatic. That's like being mad at a rabid dog. I'm mad at my legislators for legislating me out of the right to protect myself and my family. I would much rather be sitting in jail with a felony offense on my head and have my parents alive. As far as these so-called assault weapons, you say that they don't have any defense use. You tell that to the guy that I saw on a videotape of the LA riots, standing up on his rooftop, protecting his property and his life from an entire mob with one of these so-called assault weapons. Tell me that he didn't have a legitimate self-defense use. Just one final statement. I've been sitting here getting more and more fed up with all of this talk about these pieces of machinery having no legitimate sporting purpose, no legitimate hunting purpose. People, that is not the point of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is not about duck hunting. And I know I'm not going to make very many friends saying this, but it's about our rights, all of our rights, to be able to protect ourselves from all of you guys up there.
That was an extremely powerful video. And now we're going to go to the one-on-one interview that Alex conducted with Mrs. Hupp.
And I wanted to get her on the air because she was instrumental nationwide, testifying before legislatures everywhere, not just the Texas legislature that she later chaired committees on, to get concealed carry in. And we've seen 25-30% or more reductions in every state that's done it. So she'll be joining us to the bottom of the hour here in just a moment. Here is just a short excerpt of her testimony before Congress.
The Second Amendment is not about duck hunting. And I know I'm not going to make very many friends saying this, but it's about our rights, all of our rights, to be able to protect ourselves from all of you guys up there.
Man, and boy, that was what, back in the mid-1990s, and here we are in 2013. Great way to kick off the new year with a champion of liberty who, I've got to say, if any one person got concealed carry in, you can say what you want about it turning a right into a privilege. The point is that it put guns on the street in law-abiding citizens' hands, and the criminals are keeping their heads down. Violent crime down over 20% nationwide on average since then. We've shown the new FBI statistics. Except in areas where they've taken the guns, crime is up. Former representative, talk show host on 590 AM, you name it, best-selling author, Mrs. Hupp, good to have you on with us.
Hey, happy new year to you, Alex.
Well, I am excited. What's your take on everything that's happening and the open calls now in the Feinstein bill to physically make you turn guns in?
It's a scary thing, isn't it? I've talked to a lot of friends of mine who we all kind of talk big. You know, you hear the from my cold, dead fingers comments. But the truth of the matter is, if a bunch of jackbooted thugs show up at my door and put a gun to my child's head and says, turn over all your guns or else, I'm probably going to turn over my guns. You know, so I think it's really important, and I think this is why so often revolutions are mostly about young people and young people without extended families. You know what I mean? It's a scary world right now.
It certainly is, but there's 160-plus million gun owners. If 1% fight back, that's 1.5 million soldiers. I agree, most people are going to turn them in, at least in the first wave, but the tyranny that follows is going to result in a civil war. And if you notice all the branding of Obama as the new Lincoln and how he's going to kick the butt of the states, it's pretty creepy.
It is. It's very frightening. And, you know, when I talk about people turning in their guns, I think there are an awful lot of people that are going out of their way to purchase guns that don't have a track record, you know, that can't be traced to them. And those guns are going to be hidden and buried all over the place. And, you know, we might be some of those people. Alex, you and I are going to be the first doors that they knock on.
You're right. They're going to try to make examples of people. Why do you think, for listeners that just joined us, we have the clip, Dianne Feinstein and others are saying, Mr. and Mrs. America, get ready to turn your guns in.
Why do I think she's doing that? I think because she's absolutely clear that she has the backing of the president, and she now has, I would say, 70% of the media firmly behind her. You know, I was actually sitting getting a manicure a few days ago, and there was a lady kind of across from me, somebody I didn't know at all, and she got to talking about the guns and the shooting in Connecticut, and she turned to me and said, well, I just think we should get rid of all the guns. What do you think? Of course, that was a mistake, right? No, I took it very easy on her, and I didn't tell her any of my background or anything, and I simply said, well, you know, I've thought about it, and it seems to me that not one single one of these mass shootings has ever occurred where guns were allowed. And she stopped and she kind of blinked and she got up and she went and washed her hands and then came back and sat down and looked at me and she said, you know, I never thought about that, but you're right. So I think there are an awful lot of people out there that you can't grab with statistics. You can't grab with logic. I think there are a lot of people out there that you have to put them in the position of being, you know, as close as you can, put them mentally in the position of being completely helpless. And then ask them if they would rather have somebody with them, even if they choose not to have a gun, if they would rather have somebody with them that knows how to use one or not. You know, even if they won't defend themselves, most people are willing to defend their child. So I do my best to talk about that sort of thing.
I know it's hard for you to talk about it, but you do to save other lives. And I've got to commend you again. As you know, and people can pull up the uniform crime statistics. Since concealed carry became ubiquitous in most states, crime rates on average around 24% to 25%. National, it's only about 20 because of some of the gun-free zones like Chicago and New York. But the Luby's Massacre was a mass murder that took place October 16th, 1991 in Killeen, Texas, United States, when George Henard crashed his pickup truck through the front window, got to ban pickup trucks, on a Luby's cafeteria and shot 50 people, killing 23, exchanged shots with responding officers, and then hid in a bathroom and fatally shot himself. You were there. You lost your parents. I know it's tough to talk about, but we've now seen fathers that lost children in the last few shootings come out and say, don't use this to take people's guns, but the media tries to ignore them. You as a survivor, I mean, you more than anybody have a right to lay out the record. Can you, for people that don't know, describe what happened and what would have happened if you would have had a firearm?
Well, to try to keep it brief for you folks, my parents and I was about 31, I think, at the time, where I just dated myself. My parents and I had gone to a local cafeteria, and we were actually eating with the manager of the cafeteria. The place was packed. It was boss's day. It was the day after payday, middle of the day, beautiful day. And this guy drove his truck through the window. It was a floor-to-ceiling window and crashed into a number of tables and came to a jerking halt pretty much in the middle of the restaurant. And, of course, you think it's an accident. And we began to rise up to go help the people he had knocked over, and we heard gunshots. I was on the passenger side of the vehicle, and it was maybe 15 feet away from me. My father and I immediately got down on the floor and turned the table up on its side in front of us. My mom was down behind us. And the shooting continued. Realize this was 1991, and these mass shootings weren't occurring back then, so it wasn't the first thing that comes to your mind. We were waiting for him to say something like, all right, everybody put your wallets up on the table, or something like that. But that didn't happen. He just kept shooting. And when he worked his way around the front of the truck and he was working toward us, a full, I'm going to say 45 seconds had passed, and I realized he was just executing people. And it just, 45 seconds, Alex, 45 seconds is an eternity. When I did realize that, I reached for my purse that had fallen on the floor next to me. I thought, I've got him. I've got this guy. I used to carry a gun in my purse illegally because an assistant DA out of Houston that was a patient of mine convinced me to carry it illegally. But I did like most people. You know, you think, eh, what are the odds? If I need a gun, it's going to be if I break down on a back road somewhere. It's sure as heck not going to be in a crowded restaurant in the middle of the day. But my gun was 100 yards away in my car where I had begun dutifully leaving it. So long story short, at that point, my dad started to break free from my grip and said, I've got to do something, and I've got to do something. He's going to kill everybody in here. And he made a run at the guy, and the guy just turned and shot my father in the chest. Again, I apologize. I'm trying to make it a short story.
No, but it's important. Thank you for sharing it.
The good news with that, my dad was mortally wounded. I mean, he had covered maybe half the distance, 7-8 feet from me, but he was still alive. The good thing about that was it made the gunman change directions, and he had to go off to my left instead of continuing directly toward me. Somebody way at the back of the restaurant broke out on one of the windows back there and began to escape through that window. People were able to escape that way. We were kind of up in the front corner and couldn't get out. When I saw what I thought was a chance, the gunman had his back turned toward me. I stood up. I grabbed my mother by the shirt collar. I said, come on, come on. We got to run. We got to get out of here. And my feet grew wings. And to circle it back around, my mom did not follow me out, and I didn't know that until after, literally, I was outside of the restaurant.
She was staying with your dad, wasn't she?
The police officers later told me what happened to her. They said that, and a number of them were patients of mine, and they took me and my family to lunch about a week later and told us. They said that when they got into the front, they saw a woman on her knees cradling a mortally wounded man. And they didn't know who the gunman was. And they saw this 30-something-year-old man walk up to her. They said he put a gun to her head. She looked up at him, put her head down, and he pulled the trigger. And they said all they had to do was fire a shot into the ceiling, and this guy rabbited to a back bathroom alcove area. And as he said, exchanged a little gunfire with him and then put a bullet in his own head. My parents had just had their 47th wedding anniversary a couple of weeks prior to this, and it just didn't occur to me while I was running. Mom wasn't going anywhere without Dad. So I was really angry, Alex. I was really angry. I felt very guilty. I was very angry. I know people think I made this up later, but you can check the newspapers from the second day. I said I was angry at my legislators because they had legislated me out of the right to protect myself and my family. And you can say, well, Susanna, you could have missed. Yeah, I could have. Your gun could have jammed. Well, okay, it's possible. It was a revolver, not likely, but it's possible. But the one thing you can't argue with is it would have changed the odds. I can't begin to tell you how frustrating it is to sit there and wait for it to be your turn. And having no way, no means of defending yourself. I can't imagine being in that position again and having my children or my grandchildren with me and having no way of defending them. Makes me physically ill.
Well, we now have countless cases since you went public back in 91, 92, 93, where people have at churches and everywhere else stopped gunmen. Just happened down in San Antonio. It's just happened other places just since the Sandy Hook shooting. And the media will not cover it nationally. And we see these countless local news videos of gunmen coming in trying to shoot people for no reason at shops and concealed carry folks that know how to use them. Take them out. And I see the gun grabbers rushing in to try to ban guns right now because they know the gun culture and the self-defense culture is taking over society. All the top-rated TV shows, women out buying guns, liberal women's magazines, you know, show women with guns now. Not because they want guns, the liberal owners, but because they realize women have woken up. They're losing. That's why they're launching this offensive against the Second Amendment. Would you like to elaborate on that statement? Do you agree or disagree?
I agree with you, but I do think that they see an opportunity here because of the Connecticut shooting. You know, it's so hard for any of us to imagine that all those little children being just executed like that. It's just, you want a way.
And they put the guilt onto us. Have you ever seen such demonization of gun owners where they say, we're Klan, Nazis, we helped kill those children when it was a gun-free zone and the media advertising crazies go to schools and kill people? If anybody has blood on their hands, it's them.
Isn't that the truth? That's something that I've advocated for years, is for teachers to be able to carry. And, of course, here in Texas, individual schools can make that decision. My school does not allow the teachers to carry. But I can tell you that I know a few that carry anyway. They just keep their mouth shut and do it, thank God. You know, the bad guys, I don't know why people don't get this. Bad guys like that want a high body bag count. They're going to go where they think they can shoot as many people as possible without anybody shooting back at them.
Nobody knows these cowards like you. No doubt your father saved your life. Nobody knows these evil people like you, Susanna Hupp, a survivor of the Libby's massacre here with us, and really, you know, the grandmother of the concealed carry movement, no doubt, not to use the term grandmother like she's old, but she's the person that really started it, thank God, and saved countless lives. Why do these cowards always commit suicide as soon as the cops show up? I mean, it just shows they really are ghoulish demons, that they all act exactly the same.
You know, I'm trying to teach my children. I have two boys, 16 and 14. And I think society in general tries to teach people that these bad guys are just misunderstood, or they've had a hard life, or, you know, all the various and sundry excuses that you can come up with for them. I've actually literally had people ask me, why didn't you try to talk the guy down? Like, really? I can't even argue with that. It's such a stupid statement.
Yeah, just shot your dad in the chest, and then you're going to go talk to him.
Let me go talk to this guy about his childhood. What I'm trying to teach my children is that, you know, there certainly are criminals. I would say the vast majority of criminals in the world that were created. You know, they did have bad childhoods and whatnot. But there's also evil. I honestly believe there is absolute evil that exists in the world.
That's my next point. Have you noticed that with Son of Sam, Ramirez, the Night Stalker, Harrison Kleibold, Lanza, and the guy that just shot the firefighters, they were all admitted devil worshipers. Shouldn't we be profiling them?
I did not know that, but I'm not even slightly surprised. Maybe mildly surprised, but not shocked. How about that?
It's incredible.
The evil exists, and I believe that you must do your best to stand between evil and innocent people. And it doesn't mean, again, I want to make this clear, because, you know, I'll tell you what one of my biggest fears is, Alex. One of my biggest fears is that I'm going to be in some position that I get shot and killed by a bad guy, and I'm not able to get a round off for some reason. And I'm so afraid that the other side is going to say, see, her gun didn't help her. And I've said it a million times, it's not a guarantee. It changes the odds.
It means you're not a helpless prey animal to be fed upon by devil worshippers and psychopaths.
At least I'm not going to be an easy target. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do my best to bloody them. You know, they might take me out, but I'm going to do my best to put them in the hospital at the very least. Everybody's going to know who the bad guy is.
Here's the headline, Daily Mail. It's also in AP. I am the devil. Former classmate reveals school gunman had online devil worshiping page. As childhood barber recounts how he never spoke and just stared at floors. And that's the shooter of the firefighters with Lanza. It's the same story. So this just goes on and on. So all of them. Devil worshippers. Here it is. Satan worship. The Sandy, hook. On and on and on. Son of Sam, Night Stalker. List goes on and on. It's amazing. You know, in the time we have here, because I know you've got to go soon, maybe you can do 5 more minutes with us after the break to talk about your book, which I need to carry at the InfoWars online bookstore because I know it's so important. We all need to reach out to the dumbed down people that really think turning their guns in is going to protect them. But looking at Dianne Feinstein, have you seen the testimony in Congress where she admits she has a concealed carry but doesn't want you to be able?
I have seen written quotes from it, but I have not actually seen it, no.
It's amazing, though. I mean, how can they all have bodyguards and she can be worth $100 billion, but then we're not supposed to have guns?
I remember being on CNN or one of those shows when Rosie O'Donnell, there had been some incident with one of her adopted children, and a bodyguard protected the child. You know, and I went on the air and said, she must be horribly, horribly, feel awfully silly at the moment, because she's telling all of us to disarm, and most of us don't have her kind of money that we can hire personal bodyguards for our kids. And she must be terribly embarrassed. But I feel that way pretty much about Feinstein and most of them. It's just an elitist attitude. It's okay for me, but it's not for you because I don't trust you.
Well, if you notice, I've even got Christian Science Monitor admitting, I have an article that our government's trying to restrict free speech online and going the way of China. I've got an article after you leave us we're going to go over where top Georgetown professors saying, yeah, go ahead and kill old people, death panels. I mean, they're not just going after the Second Amendment. Do you see it as a big canary in the coal mine that they are this open and brazen right now?
Here's what I really think, Alex. I don't think Obama is the problem. I don't think Feinstein is the problem. I honestly believe that our public education system is the problem. Because those are the people that are growing up to run for office that think socialism and Marxism is a good thing. They're the ones that grow up and vote for the Obamas and the Feinsteins. So I truly believe, you know, you and I tend to attack this, and a lot of partisans tend to attack this at the top. You know, well, we have to get so-and-so out of office or into office. And I really hold that the problem is down in the school system.
Have we crossed the Rubicon of becoming a collectivist society where they've got so many people domesticated? You know, they're like squirrels you feed in your backyard. After a while, they don't know how to go out and get their own food.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I was talking about this last night on the radio show, in fact, on the one that I was filling in on in Austin. I unfortunately think we have hit the tipping point. I think that's evidenced in this last presidential run.
She just said people in Texas or other more constitutional areas where the economy, by the way, is still operating because we're not socialist completely, are in a bubble. We think, oh, they'll never have government-run health care. They'll never make us pay for abortions. They'll never take over the Catholic Church and make them pay for abortions. It's all happening. They'll never do this. They'll never do that. Really, they've done this in every other country. They're following a model. And there are powerful corporate interests that want monopolies. They want a quasi-socialist system with a fascist system on top of it. And there's also some hoaxing going on where they say this is a mandate for socialism because Obama won again. No, they ran a neocon, socialist, Obamacare-riding Mitt Romney. So the fix is in is the problem. Representative, I wanted to talk about your book some, but first, solutions. If we have reached the tipping point of domestication, we know the solution is wait till it rots and collapses like the Soviet Union. Well, that's going to be authoritarianism. I don't want to be sent to the Gulag Archipelago. How do we short-circuit it before it gets really, really bad?
Well, you're not going to like my answer. I guess my answer is two-pronged. Number one, we truly, truly need to get into these school systems and begin to re-teach what made America great, because they're not teaching it now. They're teaching that socialism and Marxism is good.
What do you mean I don't like your answer? Absolutely. And look, the government's taken over. It's time for us to do what the socialists did. I think people should infiltrate government and do whatever you have to get in there to report on these people and sabotage these people.
Yes, yes, that's very well put. Well, I said that you wouldn't like it because, unfortunately, you know, it's not a glamorous answer, and it's a slow task to changes in the school system. The second thing that you do brilliantly is teach people to be prepared. And it used to be only us crazies that would stockpile food or stockpile water or ammunition or whatever. But now they actually have television shows about it. You know, it's not just crazies. It's not just people that are missing four of their front teeth. You know?
But our grandparents all did that. It's normal. All mammals, you know, store some food. I mean, even grasshoppers do it, and they're insects. I mean, you're crazy to just live day to day in some supermax prison style grid. Let me ask you this, and we'll talk about the book and let you go, and hopefully get you back soon. I have a clip in my film Endgame: Blueprint for Global Enslavement. And in it, it's you talking to the head of the Psychiatry Association, and you say, why are 67% at that time of foster kids on psychotropics? And you were heading up the committee, and it was a big investigation. And he says, oh, they come from bad gene pools. Well, A, that's what Hitler said. B, they don't even do blood tests, quote, gene pools. They grab kids from their parents and then drug them, as doctors have said. What do you make of that? That's not liberal drugging kids. That's evil.
Yes, and in many, many, many cases, those children were on more than three psychotropic drugs. And many of them weren't even okay for children of the age that they were giving them to. I'm deeply concerned with the drug culture, and I don't want to badmouth all drugs. Look, I just got off a run of antibiotics for a sinus infection. There are good drugs out there. The problem is, this is one of the things that can be tricky in a free society. We do have these enormous drug companies that push this stuff and actually get it wrapped into the government system, to where the doctors that are working on the foster kids, for instance, have to follow a particular protocol, you know, in what unravel, quite frankly.
Well, that's right. In the public schools, it turns out, get more federal funding, the more kids are, quote, special need on the drugs. In fact, the WOAI investigation that spurred the state investigation, if you remember, found that the national average was 67% of foster children are on psychotropics, and the average child was on seven drugs.
Yes.
Seven drugs. So.
Yeah, which is crazy. I mean, that in and of itself is crazy. And that there is absolutely, my husband is a neuropsychologist, so I would go to him and use him for information on a regular basis. And you're right, unfortunately, there is a financial benefit to not only the school system, but the parents. There was a kind of a negative, basically they would go in, and a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them would go in and say, well, this kid's creating a lot of problems for me. He really needs to be on medication. Somebody would put him on medication, and the foster family would get more money per day because of it.
And then the medication makes him worse, so the answer is not get him off drugs, get him on more. They're eating Twinkies. They're drinking Cokes with caffeine. They're eating. I mean, my children, if they get red dye or something in a candy, you know, on vacation, we let them eat it or something.
They
go crazy. And then it turns out those dyes have a drug effect. The kids are bouncing off the walls because they should be eating steak and potatoes and broccoli and exercising all day. Instead, I mean, if I drank Cokes and ate Twinkies, when I come down off of it, I've done it a few times, I want to beat the hell out of people. I mean, no wonder the
kids. Particularly young boys. Instead of, well, I mean, it used to amaze me to watch the teachers. They were taught to give the little boys time out. Instead of what they should be doing is telling them to go outside and run around the school 5 times.
Well, you know, public schools first got rid of dodgeball. Now most of them have banned running. So, I mean, of course, young mammals, I mean, that'd be like drugging a puppy because it runs around and chews on the other puppy. I mean, baby mammals all act the same. Ma'am, you're amazing. Thank you for your time, and thank you for getting your testimony out there that the answer is more guns, less crime. Tell us briefly about your book.
I wrote that book for the average person to read and be able to make the arguments with their neighbors and friends. It's also a great book to pass on. You know who I really wrote that book for? I wrote that book for housewives that just aren't sure how they feel about guns. You know, they're not into going out and blasting Bambi, and they're just uncomfortable with things that go make a loud bang. And I understand that. I completely understand that. And I'm a mother, and I've been there. I understand. I'm not into going out and blasting Bambi either. But it's a quick, easy read, and it's for those people.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you've got two sons. I've got two daughters and a son, and I love them like life itself or more. But it is really a good feeling now that my 8-year-old is shooting and hitting bullseye at 50 yards. Oh, we haven't tried the 4-year-old yet. And it's such a good feeling that my girls are tough. Sometimes they punch me when we're playing and it really hurts. And that they're not putting up with anybody trying to rape them or attack them. And that I'm going to defend the Second Amendment. So when they go off to college or when they get married and they live, some guy busts into their apartment or into their house to try to beat them up or rape them, they're dead. And that's real empowerment. And it's not feminism. It's survival. It's basic common sense. And as I said, our culture of liberty, the women's magazines, the Austin Chronicle's been having articles about women shooting, not because the socialist anti-American Chronicle, run by a horrible guy who I know, wants to do that. They're being forced to do that if people are going to pick up their magazines. And our culture of liberty and self-empowerment is growing, and so that's why the empire is striking back. And your book breaks that down, and I hope everybody gets it and gives it to women who are anti-gun in their family or who are on the fence.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, have a great week coming up, and always enjoy getting to hear you on 590 AM when you're filling in. God bless.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year.
Well, that's all for today's newscast. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow evening. And remember, Alex is going to be on CNN's Piers Morgan show right now, 8 p.m. Central.